Hello and welcome to our November Exceptional Speaker Bonus Call, powered by Exceptional Connections. I'm so glad you're on the call with us today. I'm Cindy O'Neill-Dady, the founder and chief connector at Exceptional Connections, where we offer monthly Exceptional Connections networking luncheons, as well as quarterly educational skill shops for networking mastery. We are very excited to announce the launch of our Vancouver, Washington chapter this October and November, featuring the amazing Brittany Nelson as the new Vancouver Chapter Connector. Our exceptional speaker bonus calls highlight our monthly Woodinville, Washington Chapter Spotlight speakers who graciously agree to share their brilliance with our ECN community and beyond. This month, I am super honored and excited to be highlighting the amazing Don Jones, founder of Don Jones Productions. Don was the 20-minute spotlight speaker at our recent November 12th Washington, Woodinville, Washington Exceptional Connections Networking Luncheon, and it was a real treat to have her share her vast knowledge and wisdom with us. We are excited to have Dawn share her lively and inspiring talk, Successful Selling to Different Personality Styles. So to set the expectation on this call, Dawn has generously agreed to share for the next 20 to 30 minutes. We will then open up the call for Q&A, so be sure to write down your questions and save them until after Dawn's talk. We plan to finish by 1 p.m., so be sure to stay on the line until the end of the call, and we'll be sharing with our listeners ways to connect with Dawn, as well as exciting opportunities being offered to our ECN community. Dawn is known as the go-to expert for helping business owners monetize their intellectual property, whether she's coaching clients on creating audio programs, getting published, getting speaking engagements, or increasing their business sales. Dawn's experience and insights help her clients earn royalty income, earn top dollar for their expertise, and ultimately get paid to do what they love for a living. She's an international speaker, certified coach, and author of more than 20 published books and audio-video programs, including her best-selling Top 7 Personality Challenges and her book, Why Women Buy. For more than 20 years, Dawn Jones has empowered over 70,000 people in more than 1,500 presentations in 8 countries. Whether she's working with leaders, business owners, coaches, speakers, or entrepreneurs, Dawn is passionate about helping people achieve their goals. It is my pleasure to turn this call over to the inspiring and brilliant Dawn Jones. Take it away, Dawn.
All right. Thank you, Cindy. And thank you, exceptional community members. I want to ask you a question about personalities. I want to ask you, why is it important to understand the different types of personalities? And what I want you to think about are different encounters that you've had in your sales presentation. And hold on just a sec. We have a little bit of background noise. Cindy, if you could go ahead and mute, that would be terrific. All right. Thanks. So you maybe found yourself in a different selling situation where you're in the midst of having a conversation with the person, and for whatever reason, you're going, I'm just not closing this, or I'm just not understanding this person, or I'm just not, we're just not connecting. And what I want to talk to you about with those personality styles is recognizing the different personality languages, because different styles require different levels of attention and different languages when you're speaking to them. So when many business owners and salespeople are working with customers and clients, they're working with a range of temperaments, cultures, personalities, generations. And what I want to focus on for this part, especially since a lot of the people in this community are selling to women, I want to focus on women for just a moment. And have you ever found yourself in a situation where you started a sales presentation with a woman by asking her about her feelings or how does she feel about something? And I say that because a lot of times that's what we're taught to do. We're conditioned to do that. Or perhaps it was you were asking her about her feelings or how she was doing today or how her family was doing or some other type of small talk meant to build a rapport by letting her know that you cared. And then it backfired instead you were just shut down by her releasing some sort of like an exasperated sigh filled with impatience, followed by a wide-eyed, stern look, almost demanding you to just get on with it. This is where personality comes into play. There was a report published for FONA, that's F-O-N-A International, which stands for Flavors of North America. In this report, Kit Barman explains the purchasing power of women. Okay, it's like a $7 trillion industry. It's a huge global monster. You've got women who are out there wanting to purchase, and you've got to know how to sell to them, and you've got to factor in their personality styles. Well, what Kit was doing, she was citing some leading experts on marketing to women, including Marty Barletta. And this woman comes highly recommended by the Huffington Post. Marty says, one of the big mistakes that companies make is assuming women are all about the warm and fuzzy. And they're not. They want the same things when it comes to sales that men do, and then some. So they want to feel a little bit extra special, but we'll delve into that in just a moment. And here's another quote by Anna Shaw from Smart Design. She told Inc. magazine that companies flounder when they interpret women as smaller, softer humans, saying companies need to understand who she is, what are her emotions, and what are her values. So in addition to understanding why women buy and the psychology behind them, it's extremely important to learn the personality language of each of those, of each style. And bear in mind, this factors into women or men. I just wanted to focus on the women component first because too many times people will say, oh, it's a woman, you've got to start out soft and be fuzzy. If it's a man, you got to get to the point. So I wanted to put that in there from the get-go. So when we've got the four, I'm going to focus on four primary personality styles. So perhaps you've taken a Myers-Briggs and you know what your letters are, or you've taken a DISC, the D-I-S-C program, or maybe you've done one with animals or colors. You know, there are a whole sense of array of temperaments and personality style assessments out there. What I do for this is just keep it super, super simple, and I give four primary styles. You have your direct style, your thinker-analyzer, your social extrovert, and your relational person. And what I'd like you to do is if you have a moment to go ahead and write some of these down, I'll refer back to them as we go. So your direct style, when you're speaking with this person, you want to learn the language that's a little bit more direct. When you're speaking with a thinker-analyzer, you're going to be more analytical. When you're dealing with a social extrovert, there's going to be more excitement and you're going to be more, well, social. And then when you're dealing with a relational person, you're going to be just that, more relational. So I've titled these four personality styles. Again, these are very generic. We are all a combination of all four styles. Yet, depending on the circumstance, you go to one of those styles. And again, I labeled these very simply so that you can picture each style as you're thinking about that style. So let's go back and talk about why it's important to understand the language of the differing types. And I want to ask you this. Have you ever traveled to a foreign country where they speak a language different than you? Or perhaps you've interacted with somebody who is different than you and they have a different language. What are some things that you have done to prepare yourself for that conversation? And I'm guessing some of the answers that I'm hearing that you might be saying or you might be thinking would be including learn the language, get a phrase book, learn the culture, understand the region, understand the personalities, understand the temperaments, you know, understand where you're going and who you're going to be speaking with. And I remember when I was traveling to one of my places abroad and we had stopped in Italy, we had learned the phrase book. We had learned, thank you, hello, goodbye, you know, just a few key phrases. And it was easy with menus because we could speak Italian in the restaurant because we knew fettuccine, you know, cannelloni. So that was easy. But it was when I needed to use the restroom And I stopped in a place that the people did not speak English. And I remember going, okay, where's the restroom? And the woman looked at me as though I needed a hotel because I wanted rest and room. So she says, La hotela? And I say, the bathroom. And she looks at me as though I hadn't bathed or something, like, who needs a bath and a room? So she looks at me again and says, La hotela? And so I went to the universal common language of body language. And as I stood there with this squirming look on my face and kind of squirming through my body, and that look when you, and that body language that says, I got to go to the bathroom. And she goes, ah, la toileta. And that was when I learned the word toilet. Because apparently in Italy and many other places in Europe, they don't say bathroom or restroom. They say toilet. It's very, but I would never say that in an American conversation because we don't ask for the toilet. So I learned very quickly to say, scusi, mi dispiace, excuse me, scusi, mi dispiace, poco italiano, dove toiletta. There we go. So enough to say, I'm sorry, I speak very little Italian. Can you please tell me where's the toilet? Now here's the point of this. We learn things under peak states of emotion. Pain or pleasure. In that case, I was obviously in pain, so I learned very quickly those words. Let's transfer that to sales. When you are in a peak state of emotion, feeling really great or feeling really painful, you learn things. So when you're feeling great and the sale's going great and you have this connection, you might not even know why. Yet, at a very subconscious level, you are speaking the language of that other person. Contrast that with when you're in a peak state of pain and you're going, I don't know what's going on here, but the sale's not going through. And you remember what didn't work. So let's tie that back into personality languages. Because body language is the universal language, you can pretty much read somebody's body language for the most part. And the universal language when somebody's happy is they're smiling, and when they're not, they're kind of have a perplexed look on their face. So let's tie that back into personalities, because when you're learning each of the styles, you want to speak their language. You also want to speak their tone, their tempo, and their body language. So their tone, tempo, and body language. So let's start with the direct person. Direct people are direct. They are bottom line, quick thinkers, get to the point. They oftentimes want the answer before they want the equation. So, for example, they may ask you, does your product provide this for them? Instead of going into the detail of saying, oh, our product does this and this and this, and going into the sales presentation, so to speak, answer the question direct, which would be yes. Pretty straightforward. Now, direct people oftentimes like to direct the conversation. Leave them wanting more. Let them take control of the conversation. That's oftentimes the way things go. What you can do, though, with direct people is this is where bringing questions into the equation is extremely important. And by the way, during our call today, we're talking about successfully selling to the differing personality types, but we're also talking about the best questions to ask. So those are the two pieces for our time together. So with direct people, if they ask you if your product or your service will provide them with something they're looking for, then of course you say, yes, I can take a moment to explain that to you right now, or if you have other questions, you can go ahead and continue on. And let them take control. But you notice you're asking two very direct questions that give them a focal point for their control. Let's move on to the thinker-analyzer. Thinker-analyzers do just that. They think and they analyze. They are detail-oriented and they want the facts. Your opinion is not as important to them as the facts and the data. So, for example, if you're in the middle of a sales presentation and you're telling them something technical, they don't want your opinion whether you like it or not. That might be important down the road, but right now when they're thinking and analyzing the situation, they want to know, what do the experts say? What does the data say? Give me the specs on this. Let me see the specifications on what you're talking about. So when you're preparing to sell to a thinker analyzer, come prepared with the details, with the documentation. That way they can take a look at what's important to them. Then you can focus your presentation on what's most important to them. So for example, if you're selling cars, for example, then you can ask, well, what is most important to you when it comes to purchasing a car? And let them answer. Now, if they're not sure, you can direct the sale based on logic. So for example, you may say something like, is it important to you to have good miles per gallon, to have a car that's economically something within your means? Is this something you're going to want to finance? Is this something that is environmentally friendly? What are the things that are most important to you? Just, you know, as far as color, as far as interior, and just give them a focal point to focus on, but really, really have your specs ready for them. So you've got your brochures, you've got the detailed specifications, get that to them in advance if you can, or have it with you during the presentation and give them the time to look at it. Let's move on to the social extrovert. Now, the social extrovert, during the sales presentation, they love to have fun. They love to tell you stories. You notice the change in my tone and my tempo. That's how they tend to be. They want to have fun. If they're having a buying experience, let's make it fun. In fact, the more fun they're having, the more they like to buy and the more they like to shop with you. Now, for your help you in your sales with the social extrovert, about 40 to 44% of the population falls into this category. They are very present. They want to have fun during the sales process. They are great storytellers. It's all about them. They're thinking, what's in it for me? Why should I get this? It's a lot of about them. So with this particular style, make it fun. Ask them fun questions. Focus on what's important to them. We know, what do you want? Why is that important? If you had that, what would that do for you? And you notice again my voice, is my tone, my tempo, my body language. If you could see my body language right now, my hands are moving, my face is smiling, and it's just, you're not stagnant. So with this style, though, I do want to caution you, because they will go off tangent. So make sure you direct them like a funnel. You want to be able to funnel your questions and funnel them, asking them, okay, so if you had this, what would that do for you? And why would that be important for you? Okay, can you picture driving this car? Let's go back to the car sales scenario again. Where would you want to drive it? Who would you want the first person to be in the car with you? Where would you go? And so start painting that picture with them. Have some excitement. Have them picture owning it already. That's for that style. Let's move on now to the relational person. Now, with the relational person, you're going to be more one-on-one. Notice my tone and my tempo are still soft, but you notice I slowed things down a little bit, and it's not larger than life. There's a softness, there's a sincerity, but there's also breathing space in the language. So when you're speaking with that relational person, you need to slow down in order to demonstrate that you are listening and paying attention and having a one-on-one conversation with that person. Now, with relational people, whether they are male or female, these are the people you can ask them, you know, how was your day? How is your family? Do you have kids? Do you have pets? You know, those are the kinds of questions that are important to relational people. This, I think, I would not be surprised anyway, if this was where the people don't care how much you know till you know how much you care expression came from, even though all styles care that you care about them, especially the relational style. They do not like trite, quick, quipped conversation. They want good listeners. They do not like to be put into a little box and just put away on the corner. They want to be heard, and they want their questions to be answered. So let's zoom back out again with those four styles. You've got your direct person, your thinker-analyzer, your social extrovert, and your relational person. Bottom line with each style, with direct people, be direct, bottom line, to the point, give the answer. Then give the details of the question by asking them if they want it. Remember with direct people, be brief, be bright, be gone, leave them wanting more. With the thinker analyzer, this is the person where you're still going to be a little bit more on the thinker side, not the emotional side. You can hear it in my tone and my tempo. With the thinker analyzer, though, you want to make sure to explain the why behind the what. Make sure you have your documentation, your specifications, come prepared. And with the thinker analyzer, you know you have developed a rapport and a trust with them when they ask you some questions and they get a little bit more friendly, because thinker analyzers tend to be more introverted and they're not as expressive. So you'll notice sometimes a little bit of quick wit when a thinker analyzer is warming up to you, so to speak. Then the quick overview on the social extrovert, make it fun, have fun, keep them corralled, keep them focused, advise them, tell them what you think, because they do want to know your opinion and how it's going to impact them. And then with that relational person, be genuine, be kind, be slow. And this is not slow, this is slowing down so you can truly interact and connect with them. All right, so we've got your overview of the four primary styles. And, oh, by the way, if you want a more detailed copy of this, I will give you a complimentary copy of my best-selling Top 7 Personality Challenges. You can just go to Dawn, D-A-W-N, Jones.net, DawnJones.net, enter your email, and then you need to validate your email, because I won't send you anything unless you want to be sent to. So you validate your email, and then that you'll get an automatic link to download your complimentary copy of the Top 7 Personality Challenges, and that will help you just be able to speak the language of the differing styles. So let's go back to the four styles again, your direct people and your thinker analyzers. If you had them in a box, they would be on the left side. And I keep them on the left side when I'm giving a visual demonstration of them, because I want you to think of your left brain. Direct people and thinker analyzers tend to be left brain, logical, sequential, linear. There are lots of L's in that for you to remember, left brain logical, left brain logical. So this is when you're thinking, okay, you got to present the facts. You've got to get to the point. You got to be direct. This is not, hello, and how are you doing today? This is, hey, Susie, this is Dawn, touching base with you. You asked me to call you today and go over the XYZ. Fill in the blank. So you're being direct, you're getting to the point, you're telling them why you're calling, and you're using that logical side of your brain. So think about that left brain logical sequential linear when you're speaking with your direct people and your thinker analyzers, and then factoring in their personality. Direct means less detail. Thinker analyzers need more detail. Then let's move to the right side. This is where your social extroverts and your relational people are. So I put them on the right side if I was showing you a visual, so you can remember right brain on the right side are your social extroverts and your relational people. So right brain, random, creative, lots of R's in there. And these are the people who are primarily making their decisions based on feeling good. I mean, they want an amazing experience. So make sure you give them that five-star treatment so they feel excellent. Generally speaking, direct people tend to be aggressive. Compared with thinker analyzers, they tend to be more introverted. Compared with social extroverts, tend to be more extroverted. And then relational people tend to be more passive. So if you've got your direct people aggressive, during the sales process, they may even come across to you as being aggressive. And if you, by nature, tend to be more relational or passive, don't take it as an offense. Take it as this is their language, it's their style. Let's go back to the Italy example. I remember when we first traveled to Italy, one of the things Rick Steves, we had learned from his program, was many times in restaurants, the Italians are very loud, and you don't know if they're having a fight or if they're just enjoying the time with the family. And we experienced that firsthand, and we grew to just love the culture because they were so boisterous and so vocal. Well, we contrasted that when we went to France, and they were very, very quiet in the restaurant setting. And the only loud people oftentimes spoke English. You know, we were the tourists and we were loud, and that was part of our culture. And so realize, just like traveling to a foreign country, when you are speaking with somebody who's more direct, that aggressive nature doesn't mean they're angry or upset with you, unless you're dragging your feet. Then you need to be asking, you know, is this important to you? What parts of this do you want to focus on? Okay, boom, let's get this and move on. Your thinker analyzers, as I said earlier, are the introverts. They will process internally. Watch their body language. This is where you're looking for the glazed over eyes or the eye rolling or the tight lips that say, you know, I'm just not listening to you. I don't have a lot of respect for what you're saying, or you're not presenting me with the facts. So this is what you're going to be watching for with them. They're going to be processing more introvert as an introvert. And this is where you would ask them, so, okay, what is important to you? What parts of this presentation are most important to you? What part of this product, what part of this service is most important to you? And let them tell you. The extroverted person, this person, when you're speaking with them, they're going to be very expressive. And chances are they're going to do 80% of the talking. So with this type of personality, you're going to need to rein them in. Best way to do this is from the get-go. Ask them, how much time do you have for our presentation? And if they say, I've got 20 minutes, then what you can do is every time they start going off course, you rein them back in by saying, okay, we've got about 13 minutes left of our 20 minutes, and I want to respect your time. So let's move here. And you can direct and move that conversation. With the relational person, because they tend to be more passive, giving them permission to speak, giving them time to think. This is not the person that you want to say to them, okay, this is it. Make your decision today because I'm leaving. Nope, this does not work with that style. They will let you walk away and you will not get the sale. Give them time to think about it. Ask them what they need to make their decision. Who else needs to be involved in the decision-making? When will they be able to make that decision? And so these are little cues and critical pieces that you can bring into your sales presentation with each of the styles. And the bottom line here with the overview of the four primary personality styles and their languages is the golden rule and the platinum rule. The golden rule, you probably remember, was do unto others as you would have done unto you. And that worked well when we lived within minutes of each other and we knew our neighbors and everybody in the community because there was a certain standard that everybody lived by. Now, though, there's the platinum rule. And the platinum rule is do unto others as they would like done unto them. Now, this doesn't mean you're changing who you are. This just means you are speaking the other person's language. When you're speaking the other person's language, you're letting them know that you respect them, that you've taken the time to learn their language and speak their language. Now, what I do want you to do also here, especially when you've got a developed relationship with somebody, is make sure to state your needs and ask them to speak in your language. Now, that's not always the case during the sales process. During the sales process, oftentimes you're the one adapting and adjusting to their style. But in general life and work, let people know, hey, I'm doing my best to speak your language. Help me out here. Can you speak my language as well? And you'll know what style you are by when you get home at the end of the day. If you've been speaking your language all day, you pretty much feel like you're in your zone. If you haven't been speaking your language because you had to put on a different hat for work or for being around family or being around friends, whatever it might be, you will naturally go back to your style when you're not under pressure. So think about your style and what you tend to be. What's your dominant to least dominant? Do you tend to be direct, thinker analyzer, social extrovert, or relational person? Put those into order. And then I also want you to think about what styles are the most challenging for you, whether they're intimidating or frustrating or, you know, they're just a challenge for you. And then ask yourself, what can you do to learn a little bit of their language? Who can you observe to see how that person interacts with other people who tend to be challenging styles. Because here's the power of learning the personality sales languages. When you look at your audience, whether it's an audience of 1, 100, 1,000, or 10,000, it doesn't matter. You are selling ideas, you are selling products, you are selling services, you are selling you. And I heard a presenter once say, if people like you, they will overlook your shortcomings. If they don't like you, they will use your shortcomings against you. And one of the best ways to become more likable is to learn the language of other people. Because when you're looking at that audience of 1 or 10,000, you can see that universal smile and that body language. They're smiling to get started. They're smiling. And some of them are saying, ask me, involve me. Some of your audience is saying, get to the point. Some of your audience is saying, give me the facts and the data. And then some of your audience is saying, be sincere, be nice. So that's the power of learning the differing personality types. So as you go through your day and your week, think about your style and that situation that you're in, whether you're at home, at work, or when you're hanging out with friends or with coworkers, and maybe thinking about your style and then the styles that are most challenging to you and what you can learn, what language you can learn to be able to speak their language better, including your tone, your tempo, your body language, and your phrases and expressions. Now, I want to move on to the three best booking and sales questions, and I wanted to just interject with Cindy for just a moment here to make sure we're good to go to take another 5 minutes on that. Does that work out for you, Cindy?
Yes, thumbs up. Go for it.
Okay. Okay. So we've got here the three best bookings and sales questions, and I'm going to, you know, just ask you this. Did you know or do you know the three best bookings, sales questions that you can ask to successfully book more business? And then I'll ask you, what are they? And then I'll ask you, do you want me to give you a clue or do you want me to give you the answer? Now, most people at this point are saying, just give me the answer. There's a few people who want the clue because they want to figure it out. Well, the beautiful thing is I'll give you the clue and the answer, and that is I just asked you all three questions. The first one was, do you know the three best booking or sales questions that you can ask to successfully book more business? Now, I knew you could only say no or yes. Those are called or referred to as yes or no questions. They are very limited, and you want to avoid yes or no questions unless you know the answer is going to be yes. And the reason why, no's in conversation are like strikes in baseball. Three of them and you're out. You know, think about the phone call you've gotten from the telemarketer. Hello, is this the lady of the house? Or you've approached somebody at the store. Hello, how are you today? Or hello, can I help you find something? Okay, three of those and you're out. It just shuts down the conversation. So if I were to give those questions a color, I give them the color red to remind you to stop and think before you ask that question. The next question I asked you was, what are they? You know, what are the three best booking questions? And those are called open-ended questions. They're open-ended because you have no idea where the conversation is going to go. This is where people like to be involved, though. These are called open-ended questions. They're great when you're assessing a person's needs and the sales situation. You know, what do you want? What is important to you? Why is that important to you? What would that do for you if you had that? If you see yourself wearing this, owning this, eating this, buying this, whatever it might be, ask them, what is that going to do for you? Why is that important? What's that going to do for your family? These are open-ended questions. Now, these are perfect when you have a higher ticket item, or if you have a longer time for your sales presentation. But they are not good when you're on a short 5-minute conversation with somebody over the telephone. So I color these, if I were to give them a color, I give them a color gold or amber, yellow, whatever you want to think there. But when you think of gold, amber, or yellow, oftentimes think of street signs. And those street signs are caution signs. So use caution when you're asking these questions, because if you've only got time for a 30-second answer and you ask a question that they could give you a 5-minute answer,
ooh, that's going to shut down the sales process, especially if you've only allocated 5 minutes for that conversation. So when you're asking those yellow or caution questions, you want to ask what I call open-ended, closed information. So open-ended, any information, they can give you any answer. Open-ended, closed information, they usually can only give you one or two answers. For example, what's your email address? What's your phone number? How do I spell your name? See, those are all open-ended, closed information. Then the third question I asked you was, do you want me to give you the clue or do you want me to give you the answer? And these are what are called either-or questions. And if you picture it like a tennis game, these are the best questions to ask during a sales presentation because you are directing people through a series of either-or questions. Now, these questions I give the color blue. Blue is like the ocean. It's vast. It's unending. It's moving. It's taking you somewhere. And so when you're asking great questions, great sales booking questions, then use the blue colors to guide people and to take them where they want to go, where you know the beginning, the middle, and the end. Now, these are three primary colors, red, yellow, and blue. Kind of like primary colors when you first learned to paint or use crayons and you blended your colors. I want you to think about what happened when you put blue and yellow together and you made green. It was a whole brand new color. When you are blending your questions, blend them for better conversation. So, for example, if you ask a yes or no question, is this a good time to catch you? What if it's not? It's like, please play again. Then add an either or question to it, and that turns it into conversation. So yes or no would be red, and that would be, is this a good time to catch you? Or would later today or sometime tomorrow be better? Ding, ding, ding. Okay, now that's conversation. So that turns it into a green question. Open-ended plus either or. So for example, what kinds of speakers do you bring in? Oh, that's open-ended. I'm not sure what they're, you know, if that's going to be too much information. What kind of speakers do you bring into your event? Do you bring in people who do soft skills such as communication, or are you looking for technical presenters? Okay, again, boom, that moves it into conversation. Then either or and either or equals conversation, which I've already given you the example. Remember, practice makes. And if that old tape is playing in your head, you might have said practice makes perfect, but you know as well as I do, when you practice something, it makes it permanent. A good example of that is watching somebody on America's Got Talent. Maybe they've been practicing for years, but they didn't practice right. And nobody told them they couldn't sing until we heard them up on national television, right? So practice does not make perfect. If you practice making sales mistakes and asking questions that close the sale, or end the sale, I should say, instead of moving the sale to help that person and help you, practice makes permanent. So practice asking the right questions, practice speaking the language of the different personality styles, and then practice including your tone, your tempo, and your body language. Now, some other booking options, and I'll wrap up with this. People are like, okay, well, what about voicemail? Well, can I book myself without making calls? And how effectively can I use email? Is a website or a Facebook group worth the trouble? What about networking? How do I do that? What's too much? What's too little? What just gives me work and doesn't produce results? What about social media? What about video? So there's all these other questions. Well, I know that I'm doing some things with Cindy that will be coming up, and I will answer all of those questions during that, and I'll let Cindy address that in just a moment. But the main thing I want you to think about here is the ingredients stay the same. The vehicle in which you deliver is the only thing that changes. So when you think about that, when I say the ingredients stay the same, I liken that to the Big Mac. Whether you are a vegan or a carnivore, unless you've been living in a cave for the last 20 years, you can probably tell me what's on a Big Mac. I can hear it right now. Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. The point is, the ingredients stay the same. Just the vehicle changes. So the same thing goes for your sales presentation. voicemails, phone calls, emails, websites, networking, social media, videos, your ingredients are the same, but the vehicle is what changes. So let's go ahead and bring this full circle. Cindy, I'm going to bring you back in here and let's open it up for questions.
Awesome. Thank you, Dawn. I'm always I always enjoy these bonus calls because I don't have the opportunity always to focus like I do on the bonus calls. And I'm able to actually take notes and really really focus. And so I just got so much more out of your sharing this time and the different personality types and how they relate to sales. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So for me, we'll open up for questions. I just unmuted everybody. But for me, I really like the way you talk about the different questions and how, you know, depending on the personality style, you know, different ones resonate better with them. And then also with the green one, you can blend them. And what I'm hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, is, you know, the blended ones are you're kind of experimenting, right, to see what resonates with them? Is that?
Yes and no. And then also, remember, because practice makes permanent, people will still go back to asking the questions they've always asked. So, for example, that common one, is this a good time to catch you? And then they go, oh, I just asked a yes or no question. I'm trying to change that habit. And so then that would be, or would later today or sometime tomorrow be better? So just that. So it's when you catch yourself, because I think people can be so hard on themselves asking questions and say, oh, I screwed that up, or I said that wrong, or, oh, no, I'm going to talk this person out of it. And it's like, really, just be real. Be in that moment. Be real. It's not so much about having a list of the right questions. It's a matter of just practicing and studying the different questions. I mean, I learned these decades ago in a Tony Robbins seminar. I mean, he asked me two questions that changed my life, just changed my life and set the course for the next three decades, basically. And all he did was ask me, you know, because I told him that I struggled, I felt guilty making money. I had a negative association with money, and sales was a four-letter word, you know. Mm. And so I told him, I said, I felt guilty making money, and yet I wanted to make money. And he just looked at me and he asked me two questions. He said, number one, he said, what would you do with the money if you made it? And it changed my thinking. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, I'd want to help people. I'd want to make a difference in the world. I'd want to be able to do things with my life that I couldn't do without money. And so then he goes, okay, so what can you do in order to make money to help people? You know, because that was all I gave him. The only answer I gave him was to help. I wanted to help people. And when he asked me that second question, what can you do in order to make money to help people? It shifted my paradigm. And I went through his goal-setting workshop of setting your goals for your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s. And because I was going in with that premise of, Dawn, what are you going to do with the money when you make it? I was able to chart my course for the next several decades and not feel guilty about making money because I knew the money that I was making was going to make an impact on the lives of the people around me. Mm-hmm. There's power in questions.
Yeah, the right questions. But you're right. You just have to, you know, sometimes we have to just be easy on ourselves and just, you know, just be present to who we're talking to.
Right, right.
So when I have one more question, then I'll open it up to if anybody else has a question as well. So when you talk about, so I have a flyer that you gave out during the networking luncheon that we had last in November, and you talked about ranking your personality style. So that's your personal style, right?
Correct.
And so when I did it for myself, I found after your explanation about the, you know, the right side of the quadrant being right brain, random, creative, and the left side being left brain, logical, sequential, linear. So I found myself gravitating, and this is without doing a test. This is just a self-assessment, right?
Right.
So I found myself, you know, saying I'm more relational and social extrovert, and then thinker, analyzer, direct. So that's kind of my, just off the cuff, what came to me. And then I noticed, oh, interesting. The first two are the right side of the right brain, and the left, the, you know, three and four are left brain. So is
right.
that typical too?
Is that, I'm sorry, say again?
Is that typical when you're rating yourself that you tend to, the side of the brain is dominant, right brain versus left brain?
Not always. No, not at all. In fact, oftentimes, because you're relational and social extrovert, it's interesting that you would assess yourself as that because those are oftentimes opposites. You know, you have the ability to be relational, but then you also have the ability to be a social extrovert. And, it, you know, it, taking an assessment, there's an assessment called Four Lenses Unfolded. You can get it online. I think it's like $8 or $10 for the assessment. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really great assessment. It's probably one of the better ones that I've seen for a very inexpensive price. And if I were to rank you, I would definitely say relational. I mean, well, first of all, may I rank you? May I?
Yeah.
Okay, because I see you as totally relational first. You care so much about people, yet you are very, very process-driven, and you have an amazing ability to put processes together. So I think your thinker-analyzer and your social extrovert would be tied because you can really, really problem-solve and figure things out outside of the box, so to speak, yet you have a real gift of putting things into boxes, putting processes together, putting systems together, and that's a very strong thinker-analyzer. So if I were to rank you, I'd probably go relational first, thinker-analyzer second, social extrovert third, direct fourth, just me personally.
Okay.
But it could also depend on your environment, where you are. I see you mostly in the environment where your thinker-analyzer has to step up. So maybe when you're home and you're not in that environment, you're definitely way more social extrovert. So good point. Good things to keep in mind.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate your, you know, kind of feedback on that as well. But it, to me, it's very intriguing. I love that. And so I want to open it up. If anybody has a question, and if they don't, I would like to pick out Chuck. I know he's on the line. Because I'd be interested to find out what he thinks is how what you shared relates to the DISC program, because
mm-hmm.
you know it's an assessment program as well.
Mm-hmm.
You should be unmuted, Chuck, if you want to jump in.
Oh, are you asking me to jump in? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were good. Oh, well, yeah, well, it is. It's the same language as DISC. I mean, this is the four behavior styles. And, you know, DISC is about how outwardly you interact with the environment around you is what it's about. So it's very similar to this. I mean, very similar. My thing I do is that I always think that another dimension of this is, as you brought up, the body language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a weakness I have. I don't quite figure out all the body language of people, but that's one of the intangibles and just visuals that if you use this behavioral style modality, the next thing is you want to be clued in as to what their body language is telling you. That can give you a very, like, before you even speak to somebody, you might be able to pick out kind of what they might be, and it might lead you in a better direction. So
yeah, and in fact, let me jump in there also, Chuck, because when you're dealing with the differing types and when you're taking in all of this information, when you're selling to the different personality styles, taking it all in at once can be a bit overwhelming. Like, oh, what questions do I ask?
Yeah.
Oh, how do I position myself? Well, what kind of body language? And one of the things I recommend people do is just take 1 week at a time. You know, on 1 week, focus on the body language. On another week, focus on tone and tempo. On another, focus on what's the phraseology and what, you know, how do they process information and how detailed are they? How relational are they? So you start studying, and then give yourself a chance to ask different types of questions. You know, I just focus on the basic three. There are so many more types of questions. There's backtracking, you know, you said this. There's the rhetorical question of, you know, asking something that you know they really don't want. So, for example, if you're calling up somebody and asking them to hire you for training, to come in and do training for them, and they say, oh, we don't do training, saying back to them, oh, you don't do training at your company? Well, yeah, we do training, but we're just not doing training right now. Okay, so you know, there's so many different types of questions. So whether it's body language or whether it's questions, taking 1 week at a time to just focus and really, really hone in on that. And you can start with the people closest to you in your life and just start studying them and seeing, oh, that's this person. And then something else that can also be really helpful. If you're speaking with somebody, if you pick your core four is what I like to call them. Your core four are the people who are in your life that you know. When you think of direct, you know exactly who that person is in your life, who's that direct person. When you think of that thinker-analyzer person, that conscientious person, is that conscientious, is the thinker-analyzer?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so you think of that person. And so now you, every time you're picturing a thinker-analyzer or a conscientious person, you have that person's visual, so their mannerism, how you interact with them. Then when you have the social extrovert or that innovative person, then think of how you interact with them and picture that person. And then when you have the steadfast person or that relational person, then think of them and how you interact with them. And here's the point of that. When you have your core four, when you're in a sales situation, and that person you're interacting with is demonstrating the attributes of one of your core four, you can very, very quickly go, oh, they're just like this person. Very similar. And how do I interact with that person? And then you're more inclined to speak with them that way.
Okay.
That's a great idea. Yeah, because you can instantly go into that mode, right? Where that's
right.
A comfortable mode because you're used to having adapting your communication style to that particular style.
Right. And in fact, I will go, when we do our skill shop, I will go into details of the phraseology of what to say. In fact, when people will actually leave with their presentation, that if they've only got 45 seconds to capture someone's attention, if they have 90 seconds to capture someone's attention, or if they have a full 2 minutes to capture someone's attention, what to say and how to say it, and then we'll also practice the tone, the tempo, the body language, and the types of questions to ask each of the styles. And then the other thing that they will also get are the 10 tips for booking business now. And this is the one that, oh my gosh, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is what hits it out of the park for people. Because once you figured out the personality types, once you figured out what you're going to say to them or the ingredients of your message, so to speak, then it's like, okay, well, who am I going to practice this on? So you've got to have your 10 tips for booking business now so you can put all of that into place. And then whether you're using the phone or the email or if you're using, you know, snail mail, whatever it is that you're using to reach out to these people or even Zoom, this is where the business starts to get closed. And it's just one of those programs I created that, and I think I told you about it, Cindy, when I did this first, it was with a coaching client who was crying the blues to me in a December going, oh, Dawn, I just don't have any business booked. And I'm like, okay, Tim, can I just coach you through this? And he's like, yeah. So I asked him 10 very specific questions and he came up with the answers. And I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Check back with me in 2 or 3 weeks and let me know how this worked for you. Well, just from that one 45-minute coaching session, after 3 weeks, I didn't hear back from him. And I'm like, okay, Tim, what's going on? Is everything okay? You're making me nervous here. I'm worried about you. How are things going? You were crying the blues with an empty January. And so here's what he said. He sent me a text. He goes, okay, Dawn, you coached me on how to light a fire under some of my customers. I did what you suggested. And boom, my first week in January filled up. Then he goes on to say, I booked $20,000 in additional business in March and another $20,000 in business in October with just one client. And then he says, I'm so sorry, I can't join. I was supposed to do training for that weekend in January. And he goes, I can't join the group this weekend. And I guess it's all your fault. And he, because he picked up like another $6,000 training day on the day that we were training. So the point of this is when you know the styles, when you know what to say and your ingredients, and then when you have somebody come alongside you and handhold you through to just do it, man, you just hit it out of the park. That's why I just love helping people successfully book to the different
styles.
That's
great. And well, thanks for jumping in. I'm going to just backtrack a little bit for those who are listening on the recording. Don is referring to the first skill shop we're going to be doing in 2020. So that would be the fourth Tuesday, January 28th, 2020. It'll be 11 to 3. Right now, it's being hosted at the Pizza Coop and Ale House in Woodinville, Washington. And her topic is really an extension of her talk today, successfully selling to different personality styles. And as you mentioned, Dawn, you're going to have 2 hours. So you're going to have an opportunity to really set the stage and create, you know, an opportunity for people to really roll up their sleeves and implement this, right?
Yep.
Yep. So you're talking about the tools that you need to consistently sell to different personality styles, 10 powerful tips for filling your calendar with paying clients now, and your unique sales presentation so that you can get called back, not put off.
Right.
So today is the last day. Today is Tuesday, November 19th, to take advantage of the luncheon special, which we extend until after the bonus call. So if anybody is on this call or listening and they want to take advantage of that, probably the best way is just to get a hold of me. You can email me at cindy@exceptionalconnections.com, and I will give you the link, and then we can get you registered to join us. So any closing remarks in regards to your upcoming skill shop, Dawn?
Yeah, this is one of those skill shops that sets the tone for the rest of the year. I was so grateful when you booked me in January, because this is it right here. This sets the tone. And this makes the difference from starting off just kind of coasting to just hitting it full on straight out of the gate. And I love working with my coaching clients. And even though this is not going to be my coaching client setting, it's going to be a live interactive setting. This is what I do with my coaching clients in January, is just get them super focused on what they're saying, why they're saying it, how they're saying it, who they're saying it to, and then saying it and giving them, you know, just giving them that success. And if we have time in the workshop, I will actually let people right then and there implement the techniques. So that way, when they go back to their workstations on Monday, they'll start getting some replies from the people that they've reached out to. So that's super exciting if people, they'll have the opportunity to have the people that they're going to be reaching out to. But that's super exciting, is when they get to implement it right there in the session.
Well, we're so honored, Dawn. I've had the unique opportunity to have Dawn coach me before speaking engagements and at different times, and I've just benefited every single time. I just love the way you explain things, give examples, and then you're just such a wealth of information. So we are all in for a treat and looking forward to filling out that skill shop and starting the new year with just really great information and reminders, too, because you like to always say reminders, reinforcers, and what was the other one?
Revelations.
You know, so yes.
That's right. Reminders, those are the things that you used to do that you need to start doing again. Reinforcers, those are the things that you're doing currently, and I give you tips and techniques to do them better. And then the revelations are when the lights go on, the clouds roll back, the angels sing, and you're like, I've always wanted to know how to do that.
Yeah, and you always weave that into every conversation or training that I've ever seen you participate in. And so that's so great, because we all need that. There's things that we learn, we're hearing for the first time. There's things that we need, you know, great reminders and things to just reinforce. So thank you for that. Thank you for generously sharing.
Yeah, my pleasure. Well, thanks for having me and in your community. And been great working with everyone.
You're welcome. So I would just like to take a moment. We're going to go over here in just a moment. But I want to take a moment and just have you share with our community who perhaps were not able to join us at our November networking luncheon. And we had you share with others what you're up to right now and how people, you know, possibly people could work with you if time permits. But, you know, let's share with our listeners what you're up to and where you're going and why, unfortunately, you won't be part of our Exceptional Connections community on a monthly basis as you have for the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, thanks, Cindy. I am stepping into a new chapter of my life. I am working with a company where they're bringing me on as a full-time coach, and I'm doing change management coaching and working with project managers and leads, and my whole background in communication, time management, project management, and dealing with difficult people, personalities, all that fun stuff is just factoring into that. So I will no longer be, you know, just coming and going. I'll have a real set schedule full time, and I'm super excited about it. I'm joining an amazing team, and there are just some amazing opportunities to work with this team, both from a full time perspective and then also bringing in, I get to bring in all of the training and development materials that I've created to this company to help empower other coaches and other participants and recipients of coaching with my material. So I'm just honored to be a part of going that direction. So yeah, it was really nice to be able to give back to Exceptional Connections community before embarking on that journey, because I just have developed such a fondness and some really cool relationships with the people at your group. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, and we'll miss you like crazy, but I'm just so proud of you and so excited about, you know, this leg of your journey. And, you know, we will, of course, we're forever friends now, so we'll keep in touch. And I am glad it worked out. We talked about you being a speaker and a still shop trainer. I think it was like in the last year and a half. So
right.
Kind of like a finale or a conclusion here. And so just a wonderful way to say goodbye to you, but also to, you know, wish you well and your next leg of your journey.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you. So I just want to end with an invitation for anyone listening to this replay. Next month we have Helen, we're talking at our Woodinville location, Tuesday, December 10th. Our spotlight speaker is going to be Karen Koenig, and she's going to be talking about the five money languages and five money styles. And then at our Vancouver luncheon, Thursday, December 12th, so the second Thursday and second Tuesday are their two networking luncheons. Leslie Ann Aiken, brand boss Leslie Ann Aiken, will be the speaker, and she's going to be sharing about create and curate a Facebook group to change your life.
Great.
So I just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and I'll just turn it to you, Dawn, and give any closing words as we end this call today.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes I heard from a woman named Sharon Baker, who is a fellow professional speaker, and I've never forgotten it because it sets the tone for all of us when we're heading into wherever, whether it's a sales presentation, going and seeing family for the holidays, or entering a new journey in life, and that is, when I'm at my best, I give my best. So I do my best to be my best. With that in mind, go be your best self.
Beautiful, beautiful. That fits right into our connection circle, too.
Yeah.
So happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Remember to make every connection an exceptional connection. So signing out for November, and hope you'll enjoy this replay if you're listening at another time. So thank you guys for being on the call, and thank you, Dawn, so much for your friendship, generosity, mentoring, and support of our Exceptional Connections community. We wish you all the best.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Okay, bye.